But you have to eat while you're interviewing.
I will eat too. So let's do it now. I'm sitting with Chef Alex Strada at his restaurant Alex at the beautiful Wynn, and I have a few questions for you, Chef. First of all, when did you start cooking?
I started cooking when I was 15 years old.
And where was that?
It was at the Monero Steakhouse in Greenwich, Connecticut. My family is I'm the fifth generation hotel restaurant business.
Right, because your father was Princess Hotels, right?
Princess, Cunard, Intercontinental Hotels, Americana Hotels. He was president of many companies, yeah.
So you traveled quite a bit when you were young.
I lived, until I was about 15, I think I lived in about 14 different places.
So that must have really influenced you from a food sense.
From a food and more from a service standpoint, because I actually lived in hotels.
So you really got a sense of the hospitality business.
Oh yeah, I lived in a hotel until I was 14.
And when you did start to cook as a teenager, did you then know that that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah.
You wanted to become a chef.
Oh yeah, I wanted to become a chef right off the bat.
And then when
not necessarily a chef, but I wanted to be part of it. And then and thank you.
Proceed up.
And then I kind of went into the cooking rather than the service part of it, because, you know, that was where the action was, and it was always kind of crazy, and you always had the chef, who was this, like, you know, crazy guy. And I thought I would like to be part of that.
And you studied in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I was at the Stanford Court in San Francisco. I started as a pastry chef.
That's right. So you have a background in pastry as well?
Yes. And then from there, I went to Monte Carlo. I worked at the Louis XV. Which was a brand new restaurant at the time, and I worked with one of the best chefs in the world, Alain Ducasse.
That's right.
And I ended up being part of the brigade there. I worked there for 2 years, and after that, I moved to New York.
Yeah, right?
Then I moved with Daniel Boulard at Le Cirque.
To Le Cirque,
yeah.
Which is pretty impressive. Now, as a
lucky
chef, at what age were you when you went to Le Cirque?
When I was 20.
That's pretty impressive.
No, I'm sorry, 21. I was 21.
To be able to go in, and you were also named, right, one of the top at the Scottsdale when you were in Arizona, one of the top 10 upcoming best chefs, right?
I got the top 10 chefs in 94, which would make me 20. I was 20. Yeah, my gosh, I was 21.
That's quite young.
And then I got the James Beard Award in 98, which I was, I was 34. I'm sorry, I was 30 and then 34 when I won the James Beard Award.
And what was it like as someone in your very early 20s going into Le Cirque and cooking at Le Cirque?
Well, I was a very confident young man. I had been around and I felt like I was a really good cook, and I had kind of been through the boot camp of cooking, you know, with Ducasse, because it was very rigid.
Very French.
Very specific. Very
yes.
French. But we had a good time at the same time. And when I went to New York, we went from having 20 cooks serving 50 meals to like 15 cooks serving 250 meals. So it was a huge transition for me.
Right.
I remember I walked into the kitchen. I didn't even have socks on. I had my like boating shoes on and my pants rolled up, and I'm like, you know, this is how you do it in the south of France, you know. And I got a big wake-up call. It's like, oh my God, we did more business that one night than we did in a week in the other place. So,
was it pretty overwhelming for you?
It was in one way, but not in another, because I got it right away, because Daniel Boulud was always very supportive of me. I was kind of one of his finds. He's like, okay, I got a good guy here coming from a really good school.
So he really mentored you.
Absolutely. Both Ducasse and Daniel. Really.
And that's pretty impressive mentors to have.
I was very lucky. Yeah. I was the right place at the right time.
And then Wynn had you come to Vegas, to Renoir.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that like for you?
Well, at the time, I had just won the James Beard Award in 98. And I was doing very well. I had went from being the chef at Mary Elaine's, which was the restaurant that gave me all the accolades.
That's right.
And all
that was in Scottsdale, right?
Yeah. And then I became executive chef there because I kind of got fidgety, and I had a really good crew, so I wanted to do more. And then after a while, I went back to Mary Elaine's because I didn't like the political and just too much paperwork and stuff. So I went back to the restaurant, and 6 months after I went to the restaurant, I won the James Groot Award.
That's right.
And Mr. Nguyen was opening Bellagio, and he was looking for the best chefs in the country to run his restaurants. And he had originally asked me to go to Picasso.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I had no interest whatsoever, because I had personal stuff. I had gone through divorce and all the deal, so I was, I'm not going to move right now. But after a while, I decided, maybe I will go to Las Vegas. So I called him back about 3 weeks later after I took a vacation, and I said, I think I'm going to do it. And he said, unfortunately, we gave the chef the job to another chef. I said, well, okay, thank you, but if there's anything else comes up, let me know. So he called me a couple of days later and said, how about we build you a restaurant at the Mirage?
And that was Renoir.
That was Renoir, yeah.
And you were there 7 years?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. And then you had a chance to come here.
And then when Mr. Nguyen sold Mirage to MGM, I wrote him and he and his wife a nice letter saying, look, I love working for you guys. If there's anything I can ever do for you, if there is a possibility of ever working together again and you do another casino in Las Vegas, I'm your guy for the big restaurant. And about a year later, he calls me and says, guess what? I'm doing something new and I got a big restaurant for you. I said, okay, let's do it.
And you have a gorgeous restaurant.
Thank you. So it's I got to be the ground roots of this one.
So you really planned this restaurant yourself.
From
your
zero.
Vision. And what really was the philosophy behind it, do you think?
I wanted to do a grand restaurant, but I didn't want to do a New York style or a Paris style restaurant. My idea was to do a Las Vegas style restaurant where you have a grandeur and everything, but it had to have its own personality. You had to have the energy level. It's a little quiet tonight. But you have to have the energy level. You have to have the drop-dead beauty of it and really somewhat take advantage of your resources.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
We did. I mean, we didn't stop anything. We went for it, and we designed the kitchen. And, everything we have is copper, which for a cook is a big deal. The kitchen is state-of-the-art, absolutely. It's designed exactly how I want it. We designed the kitchen around the type of menu we're doing. And, it's been a joy. I mean, it's been tremendous.
Wonderful. And what are some of the highlights for you of having the restaurant and the menu that you currently... How often do you change the menu here? Is it seasonal?
Yeah, we change it. Actually, more so. We change it every 6 weeks.
That's a lot.
And it has to do not only with... keeping the kitchen motivated and staying seasonal, but also as a chef you have to keep going forward. I mean, if you do the same menu over and over again, you're eventually going to become mundane. Even if it's people ask you what's your signature dish, whatever. If you do your signature dish over and over again, I think it kind of loses its luster. It loses its personality.
And the variety we've had so far, and we're just starting our courses, has been fabulous.
Right.
I mean, we had two canapés and a muse bouche, an appetizer, and now we're just getting into the mains, and it's been amazing the
Good.
Variety of food you
That's
have
That's the
here.
Thing. I want people to experience all kinds of stuff that they might not... The canapé and the muse are based on stuff that you might not ever order
right.
in a restaurant, but if you taste it, maybe you'll say, I had that at Alex, and it's really
exactly
good.
These are things I wouldn't necessarily order, but I'm so glad that I'm tasting them.
Right,
delicious.
They were delicious.
Because it introduces you to something new,
yes.
And hopefully, you're going to go into the next place and say, I had that before, and either it's as good, not as good, or better, I don't know. We'll see.
And beautifully plated, very fresh. So,
yeah.
Very, very nice. And basically, where do you get a lot of your product?
Most of our vegetables come from two farms in Arizona, organic farms that I've been... When I was in Scottsdale, I had a very good relationship with three farmers, and they grew everything specifically for me. One of them closed because when I moved, they couldn't keep up. And our fish all comes from either Maine or the auction in Portugal. There's a auction in Lisbon, and our guy from Maine calls us, tells what's going on, sends us the email, and we get the fish the next day.
That's amazing.
And our meats, a lot of farms in Pennsylvania, a couple of farms in Sonoma, the beef.
But those are pretty far away places.
Oh, yeah, but it's FedEx, as you know.
Yeah, it's FedEx right over.
Oh, well, we have the Japanese Kobe beef that we have directly from Japan, and we have some of our fish from Japan and some from Hawaii. So we really, you know, it's probably half of the ball game is getting the product.
And getting a good product.
And then Devin, I don't know if you've met Devin or Joseph. You met Joseph before.
Joseph, yeah.
Those guys, I make, you know, I get them the stuff. I tell them what I want to do with it, and they, you know, they follow through.
They execute
yeah,
it all.
They're wonderful.
That's wonderful, and I guess that's one of the advantages of being in Vegas, is that you do have the ability to get so much of a good product, because there's so many restaurants here as well that are great, that it's an incoming product coming in all the time. And
absolutely.
Stuff.
It's a lot
so
of fun.
That's really nice.
Plus, I have a great pastry chef. I mean, Jennifer Fournier is a wonderful pastry chef. She's been with me since Renoir days. She's been with me 9 years now. And when I first got there, our goal was to have a 5-star restaurant. And, I had several resumes from big-time pastry chefs, and this one young lady that was working as a pastry cook threw her name in the hat, and I did a blind tasting. I said, okay, let me see the restaurant, let me see the food, let me see the desserts.
Wow.
And hers were the best, and she's been with me ever since.
That's great.
Yeah, she's
and
awesome.
Sure
she's
wonderful
awesome.
For her, too, to be able
best.
To work here.
I'm more lucky than she is, believe me.
And what do you think now of the Las Vegas food scene? Because it's changed so much in the past even 5 or 6 years. I mean, since Bellagio opened, it really changed, and it's up there with New York. I mean, what do you see it as one of the major food cities now?
I moved here in 98 when it was just beginning. And one of the things that when I moved to Phoenix in 89, I wanted to be part of convincing people that this is the real deal. And when I moved back to Las Vegas, it was kind of the same thing, because I'd heard about all these big name chefs, but not many of them were here. And I'm not going to diss them, because they're all great chefs and they're all good friends of mine. But I thought it was an opportunity for me. If I was here doing it, cooking it, I'm like, there's no way their sous chefs are going to do it better than me. So I did it. And between myself and Julian Serrano at Picasso, I think we're the only two guys that actually lived here and did it.
And was here cooking the food.
Yeah, we were here every night.
Yeah.
And I think it was 4 months after we opened, we both got 5-star mobile.
That's right.
So it was a testament, especially for Mr. Wynn. It was like, okay, here's the deal. The guys are here cooking. That's what makes the difference. So.
And you were at the beginning of the whole
thing. Oh, right at the beginning. Absolutely.
Which is really nice.
And believe me, it was very nerve-wracking going against John George and Ducasse and all these other guys. But I figured, you know what? I hope their sous chefs don't cook better than me.
So, just a few more questions.
Yeah, sure.
Any advice for someone who's looking to become a chef today?
Make sure you know what you're getting into. Be very passionate about it, and be willing to take a lot of sacrifices. And don't let the TV chef fool you.
Because you were on Iron Chef.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But it's much more than the trying to be famous and have a TV show. I mean, you've got to.
But you know, nowadays I don't even know what to tell you, because some of the people that are successful and do very well are personalities rather than cooks. And I always believe in having a good foundation. You know, I know how to cook. I'm a good cook. And if people think I'm interesting or whatever, that's a second. You know, if I'm interesting enough to have a TV show, that's fine. But. My suggestion is that if you're going to get into it, first of all, don't spend all the money going to culinary school. Go work a couple years in the field. Then, if you're really hooked, then spend the money, go to culinary school. Because I tell you what, if you spend that $20,000-$30,000 on culinary, 60 now.
That's, and you're not making that when you come out.
No. And all of a sudden, halfway through it, you're like, you know what? This stinks. What are you going to do?
That's it.
You're done. And you're going to be paying the rest of your life.
That's right.
No, I have a lot of cooks that have been paying off their debts for 10 years. No, with $60,000, $70,000 educations. And if you halfway through you lose the passion, or you get in a job that you know, okay, so I'm going to get this break-in job and I'm going to work at this great restaurant, but guess what? I'm cleaning lettuce all day long. You got to have a, I mean, when I worked in Monte Carlo, when I worked at a three-star Michelin restaurant in Monte Carlo, I cleaned squid 8 hours a day. No, I mean, that's what I did. I cleaned squid for 6 months. And you know what? That's what gave me, I kept doing it. And if you're not into it, 2 weeks into that, you're like, out of here.
Absolutely. Wow, okay. Yeah. Just one more question. What do you cook at home? What's your favorite thing to cook?
I love, it sounds stupid, but I love cooking soup.
So that would be...
I like pasta fagioli and minestrone. I like pureed soups. I have two 23-month-old twins. Yeah,
so
I have two
busy.
Little kids. Two restaurants, two twins.
You're busy.
So we do a lot, and I cook a lot of Mexican food, too.
And then I guess what's next for you, Chef? What's next for your plans?
I don't know what's next. I think I'd love to continue. I love Italian restaurants. I'd love to branch out and do more casual dining places, because I think this type of restaurant takes so much work and so much focus and dedication and time and effort and financial backing.
Yes.
It's very difficult. And I think you can do great food with a lot less of the
and appeal
stuff.
Maybe to a broader range of
exactly,
people.
Exactly.
Which would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chef.
You're welcome.